KLO.
The Party Line broadcast is also being telecast at HoosierLandTV.com and archived forever online. This telecast is always made possible by these fine sponsors. Ellis Jewelers, The Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, ProBite Computer Sales and Service, Ardente Dental, Slabby's Food and Freedom, What's Blooming Flowers in Peru. Thank you for watching, listening, and participating in the Party Line program from HoosierLandTV.com and WILO.
Welcome back to WILO's Party Line. It is a Wednesday. Let's thank our sponsors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Ivy Tech Community College, Brett Capture, Edward Jones Advisor, Simple Time Antiques, Step Back Into a Simple Time, Clinton County Daily News.com, your free local online newspaper, and Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. I'm Kevin Keith in the studio. We have WILO News Director Ken Hartman on the phone, Indiana State Senator Brian Buchanan. Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're doing good today.
Is Brian doing okay down there?
Hey, doing good. Doing really good.
Okay. So first of all, what was your thoughts about the legislative breakfast that was on Saturday?
It was good. You know, it was still an opportunity to communicate with constituents, you know, kind of hear what's on their mind, share an update what's going on at the State House. And, you know, obviously we're kind of in unprecedented times with, you know, with COVID-19. And I know a lot of people still, legislators still like to be face-to-face with people. And, you know, hey, still that's the best. But you know what? This is the next best thing, still being able to communicate with Zoom. And I thought we had a productive conversation. I thought it was good. It's a lot of good questions, a lot of good interaction with the folks that were on there. So I don't know what your thoughts were, but it was
I wasn't there.
Way to communicate with folks.
I wasn't
okay.
There. And I got to do
I thought you might have been able to watch it. Or
no.
Did you archive data?
Yeah, we got it archived. But I'm just saying I got a show to do during that time now. So that's going to make it very, very hard for me to do. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So. Got a question that came, I think it came out of the breakfast and also came from Governor Holcomb. Where exactly is our reserve money fund? Is it all gone or is it still there or just where are we at with all that $2 million in reserve that we had?
The $2 billion. I can't give you an exact number, but I know it's not been depleted near as much as initial estimates were. I want to say, and I want to verify this, I'll be glad to get back with you. But I want to say we still have over half that left, if not a little bit more. Indiana, you know, I'd say strong conservative fiscal leadership for the last 15-plus years has put us in a pretty good spot. We're pretty fortunate. And luckily, we've been able to weather from a fiscal standpoint as a state, weather the COVID storm pretty good. I know a lot of small businesses are still really struggling, a lot of businesses in general. But we've been able to weather it pretty good. So, hopefully we can continue to build on that and help our economy continue to grow here in Indiana.
What's I'll just throw a little sports thing with it here. What's been your thoughts or your guys' impressions of the NCAA going to be in Indy coming up here in another month or two?
Oh, I think it's fantastic, and I think it's fantastic for the you know, for the whole Indianapolis, Central Indiana, really all of Indiana. I mean, what a boost. You know what a boost for restaurants, for hotels, for the economy in general. It's really neat to see. You know, Indiana is such a basketball state, and I know they're going to have games obviously in downtown, but also up in Lafayette, down in Bloomington, and it's great. It's fantastic, and I will say, so many, you know, particularly so many in the hospitality business, the hotels and restaurants have been really struggling, and hope this is a little bit of boost for them, but also it's good to put Indiana on a nice showcase hosting the basketball tournament.
I've seen different figures on how much their, you know, a monetary figure about how much they think it's going to bring in. Have you guys thought about how much it could bring in for you guys?
I've heard some estimates, but the ultimate kind of the X factor in that is, will they allow fans? Obviously, you're going to have the teams and all their support staff, and you're going to have the media with the coverage, but will fans be allowed? You know, I've heard estimates of maybe 5,000 fans, maybe 10,000. Nobody really knows, or they could say, hey, you know what, we don't feel it's safe to have fans. And, you know, if you think if in every game, if they're allowed a certain number, even if it's 10-15% of a stadium of fans, I mean, that could make a huge difference. So I think we'll have fans come to the city, Indiana anyways, Indianapolis, and so forth. But I think how many fans would be allowed could be the factor in how much of an economic impact it has.
Okay. Another big discussion item has been the $15 an hour wage. I know I don't think you guys are that much in favor of it, so I don't. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, I'm necessarily not. I think ultimately if you force a business to, you know, to raise that wage, you get into the workers still paying for it, kind of on the back end, I guess you could say, because it's probably going to force that company to have to, you know, it's going to increase their cost of production or manufacturing or the cost to do business, and it's eventually going to get passed down to the consumer. So I just don't think that is an effective or productive way to help the economy or help individuals.
What are the big items? Let's take education out and let's put the regional development rural stuff out. Take those two out of there for a time being, because we're going to talk about those in a minute. What are the big things you think you guys are going to be concentrating on this time through?
You mean from a legislative standpoint?
Yes.
Yeah, well, a couple big things. One of them is Senate Bill 1, which is really civil immunity for related COVID-19. Basically, if you talk to any business I talk with, even schools, nonprofit organizations, the basketball league, there's just an undertone of people who are concerned about potential lawsuits that are going to come from COVID-19. And basically what this bill does, it says, hey, if you follow all the CDC best practices, all the recommendations, if you make a good faith effort to mitigate the risk, to, you know, provide hand sanitizers, disinfectants, whatever that is, primarily recommended by the CDC, if you make a good faith effort and someone in your business, whether it be the local restaurant, a local grocery store, or at a basketball game, that you cannot be held liable as the owner of that or the owner of the property or the premises or whatever. So that's pretty important. Another, another thing we're looking at too is, I'll leave off Senate Bill 2. I was going to talk about, you know, funding for schools and making sure they're made whole even with virtual education, but also looking at, how local health departments interact with, what kind of authority they have and where that authority lies, what role county government, county commissioner should have in that. So some discussion there, you know, about what the correct relationship should be and who maybe has the final authority, as far as when an order comes down from the health department. Those are a few of the things. Obviously there's other things I'm working on in the tax structure with taxing of commercial businesses and how to make sure it's done properly. Another huge issue, and several bills I'm a part of helping out with, is access to internet, to rural broadband. You know, I think COVID has shined the light on this a lot, about people don't have access to high-quality internet service. And it's not just the far rural, the very, very rural corners of Indiana. I mean, there's people in, you know, Boone County, Clint County, and everywhere in between that they don't have access to high-quality internet service. So it is a challenge.
Brian, I'm one of those people. I'm like 3 minutes from the radio station, and I've got to rely on the satellite, which is terrible.
Oh, I hear stories like this all the time, and you know, we're just a tick closer to Indianapolis than you, and in Boone County, and internet service for us is pretty bad, and a lot of neighbors I know. So there's got to be a solution there, because it's not a luxury, it's a necessity when you're having a lot of people working at home, you're having school at home, use it for your daily lives, and ultimately though, what broadband comes down to is we've got to make more investments. An investment of dollars, because it is something very costly to run the fiber, run the cable, but it's getting a lot of focus this legislative session as well.
Well, to me, you know, the thing is, with what you're just talking about, it makes really school unfair, especially when you go to e-learning, because there's a lot of people, and we have a lot of people, especially up towards Rossville around here, that simply don't have any kind of capability of getting any kind of, you know, broadband or anything like that. I mean, that's a huge issue in this particular area.
Oh, it is. And you know, that's why some schools went to, okay, you know, sending school buses out with some kind of, an internet signal on it that kids can go and either get on the bus or sit in their car around it. But you'll find those pockets all across Indiana. Mm-hmm. I mean, of people who don't have high quality internet service. It's a big deal. You're right. It makes school unfair and work. And it's just a big challenge. And I say, one, you have people who don't have access to it. Then another end, too, you have people that may have access for some reason, or they can't afford it, mm-hmm. or they can't get hooked up, or whatever.
Or they don't have the belief to have it either.
Yeah, they don't. So there's kind of two challenges there, but the whole issue of getting quality internet service is becoming more and more of an issue and on a lot of radar screens.
But let me ask you this, though. With what we're talking about, isn't this going to be a long-term goal to take care of what's going on in rural areas? Because you've got so much rural in this state, particularly, that don't have enough of the things that they're going to need to do basic life here eventually. That's what I think we're headed towards.
You mean as far as basic services?
Yeah.
In rural Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a challenge. One thing that's always on top of my mind is how do you make sure rural communities still have viability and provide the services for residents that live there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an ongoing discussion. I don't have a, you know, kind of the magic recipe, secret sauce, whatever you want to call it, to make sure that happens. But it's a discussion I at least plan on continuing to be in, you know, engaged in and involved in.
You know, and of course, educational funding. I know, of course, teachers want as many as they get, which I completely understand. You know, but I'm just saying, where do you think that's going to wind up this time through? Are you probably going to keep it about where it is now, or are you going to try and get them a little bit more?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of different viewpoints. I mean, I talked to the governor last night in the speech. I haven't read it. I didn't make a lot of notes. I saw a few snippets of it. I thought he called for an increase in K-12 funding,
mm-hmm.
which I know all legislators would love to, you know, get more money to K-12 to support education. The question is, we have the resources to do that. You know, I mean, will there be enough money left at the end of the day to do that? I personally hope so. I will say right now, you know, what we figure in are approximate budget numbers, but ultimately there's a new revenue forecast that comes out in April, and that's kind of the one that really dictates, okay, how much of an increase we get or how much of an increase we don't get. I will say overall, too, Indiana's budget numbers, revenue numbers, are not near as bad as what some people were predicting back when March, April, May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when COVID started, everybody thought the reserve would be gone and revenue numbers would be terrible. And quite frankly, they're not that far off what was really predicted. So that's very promising, and I'm hopeful we can, you know, continue to increase K-12 education. I think last budget we did $763 million more. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll reach that goal again, but hopefully we can get close. So,
is there any real secret thing out there, whether a bill, action we all can do, or anything of that nature that you think is going to help get us over the finish line and keep us above board this year?
As far as with schools or just in general?
In general.
You know, I don't know. There's just a lot of discussions, a lot of bills. I think we have over 1,000 bills filed. Obviously, I tell people that, you know, only about 20% of those actually pass. So it's a big year, because one, you have a budget, but then also you have something that a lot of people don't realize is that we have redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we redraw the state Senate districts, the state House, state representative districts, and congressional districts. So that's obviously my first time working through that. So.
How much of a change do you think you're going to see in that?
I honestly have no clue. So
okay.
A lot of the legislators, especially in the Senate, are still, I think, been there 8 years or less, a good number of us. So, you know, it's going to be something new for us. But I tell people all the time, it's based off population. Ultimately, however we draw the districts, we try to make them as compact as possible, you know, keep, cities and precincts and townships together as much as possible, but ultimately we all have to represent equal number of people, and that's the ultimate driver.
So, but back to the rural situation, that makes it kind of hard, because, you know, rural Indiana, just like a lot of rural places everywhere else, is struggling too.
Well, oh yeah, no, rural Indiana very much is, yes. And that's where, with the redistricting, you know, it's taken into effect. And that's why, you know, there's some predictions that rural districts, Senate districts, House districts will get bigger, and some of the more urban ones will get smaller. And I don't know what that means for me, because I have a lot of good farmland, a lot of good rural Indiana, but then also some of the more, you know, faster growing areas as well.
Okay, I'm going to ask this. This is strictly for our benefit here. Kevin's laughing on the other side of this.
Yeah, we want to tag team you on this one here, Brian.
If you want to start, go ahead.
Well, let's okay. So I'll start this one. Okay. Yesterday, Ken, I got to tell you that I talked to somebody about this yesterday afternoon. Okay. I've not had a chance to tell you.
Okay.
Brian, you're familiar with the legal portions of a newspaper, right? Where you go there and you read whether the local school corporation is bidding out, you know, contracts. Local communities and municipalities have to advertise and legally put that in a newspaper. You're familiar with what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
It's a little bitty, teeny tiny fine print a lot of times.
About 6 points.
Yeah, 6 point font, and it's like 3 pages sometimes, right?
Yeah.
With newspaper readership going down as far as physical newspapers and people not upping their subscriptions and stuff, re-upping, there has been some discussion a couple years ago, and I talked to an Indiana Broadcasters Association attorney about it, and he had told me that it has to be a physical paper because we have ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, and
yep.
we were trying to think if there was a way that we could advertise those, since we have obviously a lot more viewers than the couple local and regional papers. So Ken and I were wondering if he and I and Russ Casper needed to start lobbying for that. But I talked to a lady yesterday who works for the Carroll County Comet, and she said that she was very much aware of this, and she has already started talking to state lawmakers. So have you heard anything about that, or do you think that we have any hope of getting a piece of that pie?
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with it. I believe this came up 2 years ago at the State House, some legislation, and I don't know where it's going to go. It's like last time, I want to have conversations with all sides. I know we had different groups, different varying opinions coming in, and you do make a fair point, and I think it's one that, you know, generally the people who have online newspapers or online sources say, hey, we should be able to advertise online, and you got some of the newspapers be like, it's the one stable, the constant force, and I don't know where this is going to go. I honestly don't know if a bill has been filed, but I know last time it was one, I don't want to say it was one of the more controversial topics, but it definitely got a lot of discussion, so... I can tell you from my vantage point, I want to hear from all sides, hear what they have to say, and as always, try to listen to everything and make the best decision possible.
Okay. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, as a matter of fact, we got an email yesterday saying, you know, we had our paper here is gone down to 2 days a week, but yet they still charge the amount of for 6 days. So, I'm just saying that's another thing that comes into that play. That's why
it does. And I remember the conversation last time of, you know, kind of hearing both sides. And both sides, quite frankly, make fair cases and I thought legitimate points to keep doing it the way we do it or to make a change as well.
I just know we're getting a lot more inquiries regarding why don't we or why can't we? And I'm just saying we're getting a lot more inquiries regarding that. So that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know what, I'll look at it. I'll look and see if there's a bill filed or if it could be, you know, tacked on. I'm curious. I haven't seen one yet, but it doesn't mean there's not one floating out there, and I don't know where it's going to go.
If you do, send me a memo or something, would you please? Just let me know what it is who's behind it so I can kind of try to semi-follow up on that.
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Okay, and good. Ken and I will send you a cheese and wine box in the mail. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Brian, have you missed anything or anything you want to bring up before I let you go?
No, I mean, I appreciate the opportunity to chat and connect a little bit. And as always, anytime, love coming on the show and just giving an update, kind of hearing what's on your mind, too. So.
Okay. I think we kind of hit everything I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, we appreciate the 20 minutes with you, Brian.
Yeah, no problem. Anything else you want to know, feel free to ask, be glad to come on and connect here in a month or so, kind of give an update with what's going on in Indianapolis, the State House. So.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks very much. Have a good one.
Take care, Brian. Bye-bye.
All right. State Senator Brian Buchanan on Wido's Party Line taking a break. We'll be right back.
Here at Encompass Credit Union, we're the community-minded people who invest in our community by giving back in every way we can. Be community-minded. Shop, invest, and volunteer locally. Now serving you at 4020 South Reed Road in Kokomo. Find us online at EncompassCU.org.
We're community-minded. try to do. Community minded, just like you.
The Party Line broadcast is also being telecast at HoosierLandTV.com and archived forever online. This telecast is always made possible by these fine sponsors. Ellis Jewelers, The Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, ProBite Computer Sales and Service, Ardente Dental, Slabby's Food and Freedom, What's Blooming Flowers in Peru. Thank you for watching, listening, and participating in the Party Line program from HoosierLandTV.com and WILO.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
Financial advice you can understand on The Dave Ramsey Show.
Now, what the banks call the FICO score is this. They say the high FICO score is what's known as a good customer. You want to be a good customer of the bank? A good customer. You need to keep in mind what a good customer is. If somebody brings you lots of profits. You know, profits come from if you're a banker, right? Interest paid in debt. Payments. It's a good customer. I don't want to be a good customer anymore. I want to be a bad customer.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 4 to 5 on WILO. Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Who hasn't felt protective lately? Of our families, our communities, our resources? In times like these, we all fight to make sure our people are safe. But at the American Cancer Society, our people, our community, our family is made up of millions of cancer patients and their families. So keeping them safe takes everyone's help. During COVID-19, help us keep vital resources available to cancer patients. Please donate to the American Cancer Society at cancer.org.
Welcome back to Wilo's Party Line. Just a few minutes left in the program. If there's something on your mind, you can give us a call at 659-3338 or 800-447-4463. Let's thank our sponsors. They are Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Ivy Tech Community College, Brett Capture, Edward Jones Advisor, Simple Time Antiques, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, and Welty Custom Exteriors. I'm Kevin Keith with Wilo News Director Ken Hartman. What is today? Wednesday then?
And this is Wednesday.
Did I hear a rumor that you already have Inside the Huddle this Saturday?
It's ready for bear.
Are we talking about four full guests?
Four full guests.
All right, lay it on me.
All right, starting at 9 o'clock, we're going to have Illinois High School Association Commissioner or Director,
mm-hmm.
Craig Anderson. They have not even started sports at high school level in Illinois yet this year.
At all?
Basically. You know,
okay.
None of the major ones have happened. And I think they were one of the states that went ahead and voted to go ahead and have their athletes wear face masks.
Okay, yeah, I remember you talking about that three or four months ago.
Yeah, yeah. So Craig's a good friend of mine. So,
and that'll be an interesting discussion.
Yeah, that'll start it off. And then at 9:15, we're going to have Tom Burnett from the Southland Conference. They just lost about five schools to different conferences.
Mm.
And Tom has also just been named as the new NCAA Basketball Division I chair for this year. So,
wow.
Since Jim Phillips left to go become the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be having Tom on at 9:15. We've had him on three or four times, and he's very, very good.
Wow, he is the man then.
Yeah. 9:30, we're going to have somebody new on, Tom Dupel. He's the commissioner of the Summit Conference, which is out there. North Dakota, South Dakota, Oral Roberts, all the schools up and down that part of the plains out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 9:45, we're going to have Jeff Hurd from the WAC. They're the ones that benefited from that exodus from the Southland Conference. They wound up picking up about four or five schools.
Oh my gosh!
And they're going to be possibly playing football at the FCS level coming up this year.
Stepping up, huh?
So that's at 9:45. So I'm kind of looking forward to Saturday.
Well, good deal. And like any good show, it's going to go quick, right?
Yeah, we'll go very go very quick.
Let's see. We got 2 minutes left in the program. Larry, good morning.
Good morning. I was going to call him, but they got busy.
Mm-hmm.
I was wanting to know if the senator had thought about redistricting in blocks.
He did talk a little bit about redistricting. Did you hear that part?
A little bit of it, but I got busy doing something.
Yeah, you know, he did not say in blocks, but they're trying to keep everything as much together, as they always say, trying to keep everything as much together as possible.
With as little change as possible.
You know, and with rural Indiana being what it is in this particular state, it's going to be difficult to try and redistrict that thing the way it should or maybe shouldn't be. I'm not so sure how it should be anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious. Then I was going to also find out if anybody had ever introduced that grandparents' bill into the state.
No.
Oh, for grandparents' rights?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. We'll have to ask him next time around.
I haven't heard, and I don't think so, because normally something like that would create enough stir that you would probably hear about it.
Yeah, we would have heard something
about it, and we haven't.
Yeah, well, one thing that I couldn't understand about Indiana is why they don't have one of them.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because you look, most of the grandparents are raising
amen to
the
that.
Grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then all it takes is for the dad or the mom to get all crappy and take the kids away.
Yeah, even if they're drug addicts, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to give those grandparents the rights.
That's right.
But I would like to know about the redistricting because I'm a great believer. And can you know that this redistricting by politics is not really right?
Well, but I'm not so sure. I agree with what you just said, but also I'm going to say this. I'm not too sure there is a very good way, period, to do that, especially when you consider all the you look at, I'll give you a prime example. There are certain things in this city. Everybody swears up and down is in the city, and they're not.
Right.
So, I mean.
I understand.
Huh? Hold on. Go ahead.
No, I understand what you're talking about. When I sat on a city planning, people would be talking about stuff that was in the county that was actually, or they wanted it to be in the city.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pretty good stretch of land out here right off of 28 that's technically, you would think, it belongs to the city. It doesn't. It's in the county.
Going west?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I'll let it go.
I started complaining about needing to annex out to the interstate back in the 90s.
Yep.
And here we still don't have it annexed.
Well, you're going to get it annexed here. It's been approved, but they still have that remonstrance part for, I think it's 3 years. So it'll be 24, I think, before it's official.
Like most things in politics, Larry, it takes 40 years to make things happen.
It has to age and prevent properly.
Well, what? Back in 81, I was going to Ivy Tech, and they put water lines and out south on the 52,
mm-hmm.
out there in the country.
Yeah.
And people were saying they're not nothing there, what they're doing. And then, 10 years later, that's built up?
For people that have been down 52, especially when you get close to Lafayette, it has blossomed. It has blossomed quite a little bit. Now I'm going to say it's more of industrial than it is anything else, which isn't exactly, I think, what people want to see. But it's a pretty good idea of what's going on out there.
Yep, jobs.
Yeah.
Larry,
well,
thanks for the call.
We let you go because I know you're short on time.
We appreciate
you. Are we
going to
have a parade today?
A parade?
Yeah, for inaugural parade, I think it's called.
I don't think we're allowed to have parades, are we, in the pandemic? We're shut down. This country's shut down.
I was just wondering.
No, hell no. No parades. That would require people being near each other. Hell no.
Yeah. Well, depends on how you look at it. I have an acquaintance of mine that still says this is all phony.
I don't think it's quite as phony as what people thought.
No,
it was.
I didn't say that. But you're not allowed to have parades. You can't do that anymore.
I didn't know for sure. I didn't know how they were going to do it.
No.
You know how politicians are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Put both parties in a grocery shack and shake them up, and they'll still come out the same.
You know what? That's something that I think most of us could agree. You and I could agree on, Larry.
I think so too.
Have a good day, buddy.
I'm going to try. Bye.
All right. Again, thanks as always, man.
All right.
All right. And thank you for joining us. And thanks to our Party Line sponsors, too. They are Welty Custom Exteriors, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, Simple Time Antiques, Brett Capps, your Edward Jones advisor, Ivy Tech Community College, Susan Casper, your State Farm Insurance, and Encompass Credit Union. Ken and I will be back tomorrow morning at 8:30 with more Party Line. Have a great day from Wylo.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.